talk, speak to that.
So the Board of Equalization is required to meet those three times throughout the year. Emergency meetings in the subsection of that are allowed for the Board of Equalization in the event of an anticipated revenue failure. If something is to occur with gaming revenue or projected revenue failing, the Board of Equalization is allowed to meet and certify new revenue estimates. That's the provision of one, or subsection one. Subsection two states that during the February meeting, the Board of Equalization shall be required to certify revenue estimates prepared by the Association Tax Commission, Business Enterprises, Controller of the Nation, and any entity with anticipated revenue for the Osage Nation for a given fiscal year. This is what we referred to earlier. During the December meeting, they will send out letters to any entity with anticipated revenue for the Osage Nation for a given fiscal year. They will certify the responses in February, and that revenue certification shall be communicated to the Osage Nation Congress on or before the first day of the preceding HUNCA session. Board of Equalization is a public body, and they will be subject to open meetings. That's that entire section. And again, to speak to what Congressman Whitehorn spoke about, don't believe that the Board of Equalization is a usurpation of the powers provided to Congress, and that their only job is to certify revenue estimates. And as you'll see in Section C, this law preserves the constitutional authority for the Osage Nation Congress to adopt annual projected revenue. So I don't believe that the Board of Equalization steps on the authority of the Congress. All it does is provide that revenue certification to the Congress so that we're dealing with certified numbers, not the request of the appropriations chair 1 year or the request of the speaker the next year or second speaker. It's the Board of Equalization certifies our revenue. That's what the Congress considers.
I'd like to expand on, if you'll scroll down so I can see number two at the top there. says, shall be required to certify revenue estimates prepared by the Osage Tax Commission, we know what that is, Business Enterprises, we know what that is, the Controller of the Nation. Okay, the Controller of the Nation, is that function that of program revenue?
Yes.
Okay. I'd like to say here that I wish that we would handle that differently. And I don't know that, I think we need to take it a little bit further in this law. I don't know that the policy that the Board of Equalization comes up really can help us with what we want to do, but I would like to suggest right here and now that we only, the program revenue, that seems to always be a bone of contention every appropriation cycle. And I think we need a hard set formula of how that's applied. I think we need to take actuals from the closed previous fiscal year and apply those instead of it being a moving target that the policy is, if they don't make it, they don't spend it. That just, to me, that's so ragged for a government to operate on. And I'd like to see that be a function of law. Does anybody have any ideas or comments on that? If that belongs in this legislation or not? And I don't know, do you guys understand what I'm saying?
Yes, and I agree. Because I pulled up the law regarding annual projected revenue, and it does say that the treasurer has the responsibility to provide financial reports concerning annual revenue and provide a report showing actual funding received and any expected increase or decrease in tribal projected revenue on or before March 1st of each fiscal year. And then it talks about what the Congress is supposed to do. I mean, I think that this can replace that, but I agree with you that we need to have more than just, because I always felt, was never 100% comfortable in the last few years with, okay, it's got to be, I think it's going to be this number. Where did that number come from?
I would agree. I found it too. It's 15-1B-103. So I will add a repealer clause for that. And then on the second topic, I believe that that's a function of policy. don't know that that needs to be in law. I think it's a wonderful practice. I think it's wise to not budget on hopes, to budget on what we've actually received the previous year.
So is it going to be a policy of Congress, the way we handle our appropriation? Or because we're the one that sets that legislative bill, appropriation bill, which authorizes and legislates the revenue, the income, and the expenditure within that appropriation bill. So to me, I don't know that it is policy.
It certainly would need to be our policy then.
It could be our policy. As we're in charge of setting projected revenue. But
right.
I don't know that needs
when
to be.
When it's our policy, then somebody else says, oh, that's just your policy. I mean, this is coming from entities that are not legislative entities.
I've made myself a note, and the next time we discuss this bill, I'll come back with something somewhere, because I really feel it's important. If the body doesn't feel like that's important, then it won't make it in there. But it's such a moving target, and year over year during the appropriation cycle, we see those numbers inflated and decreased and inflated and decreased, and I think that it needs to be a law of how we get that number. Just like it's going to be a law of how we get the number from the entities. Of course, it's the best estimate.
1A, 104A allows the Congress. I do. The Congress shall determine the amounts and enact the annual projected revenue resolution. We can certainly give ourselves the legal ability to base it off of the previous fiscal year's collections.
Can I interrupt a second? Because this is constantly on my mind, is that we, for example, here's a good example, we let the Gaming Enterprise Board send us something that says, oh, in our annual plan of operation, we're going to make the dividend this every year. To me, we need to see what gross revenue is, we need to see what net revenue is, and we need to make the determination of what the dividend is going to be for the year.
And I would say that by law, and I believe this is correct, they are required to send us all money. By policy, we have allowed the adoption of the...
And whose policy?
Would be congressional policy. We've allowed that the annual plan submission dictates the distribution.
I think what the law allows for is for them to say what they need to keep of net revenue earnings. And so, yes, that's...
Well, it might say that, but
does.
That's not what they're doing.
Right. Well, they are asking... That's not what they're doing. You're correct. They're telling us what they're going to send us instead of them saying, we want to keep this net revenue to satisfy debt, for debt payment. For capital projects, for savings, for future capital projects, and that document needs to have that in there. I would agree. Or we need to evaluate the Gaming Reform Act again.
Well, I don't,
Mr. Gill,
know how that ever.
Am I correct on that? Isn't that what the law states? Is that they're through their annual plan, they're able to ask for. Explain to us and keep the net earnings what they...
Right. I think the law says that they're responsible to provide, you know, 100% net revenues back to the nation, except for, and it has that there's a laundry list of things in there, and then they put in, you know, the tribal distribution in the annual plan, which we can either accept or reject at this point. There was a movement, I think, when standing here, we're still in Congress to change that, to make it more like 100% of the revenue had to come to the nation first, and then we would decide how much they got back. That never went through Congress, never made it all the way through Congress. But it's kind of, it's done.
When you're in a situation, you're in a situation where you go, okay, we're going to give you $40 million, or we want to include $40 million in the plan, and then somebody writes them a letter or goes to a meeting and says, well, we need more than that, and they go, oh, okay, well then we're going to put $60 million in the plan. You're like, really? I mean, to me, that's why it needs to come here and go back there. They need to justify to us what they need to have spent. Because if they've got an extra $20 million hanging about that they have, that's not budgeted somewhere, then it's a problem.
Well, good folks. I think that there's, I remember when that was going on, and like I just said a minute ago, that was Congressman Sims that wanted to do that. I mean, that was his push. And I just said, I bet he wouldn't push for that now that he's over there on the gaming board, but I see where you're going with that. My concern was then and is still now that we wouldn't provide them with the money that they need to keep operations up and running and keep money there for them for something that, like, who remembers when, you know, like the entire HVAC system went down for a casino? I mean, these are multi-million dollar businesses and they have to have money there to take care of things that happen like that. And I don't know, there's arguments for both sides, and that would be having worked in the casino and knowing what can happen that cost a lot of money that needs to be fixed right then. And like we always talk about, government runs slow and business runs fast. We don't have time to, because someone is not going to sit in a hot casino. They're going to go 5 miles over to River Spirit or 10 miles out to Cherokee where they have air conditioning. I'm just using that as an example. It could go really bad,
well,
really
let's
fast.
Let's hope. I mean, I know that's why it's been done, but I personally take offense to that because I think I'm capable of looking at a spreadsheet and talking to them about their expenses for the year and understanding what this is. But this plan is always a very big moving target right up to the last second. And to me, it ought to be, this is the money, this is the revenue you've brought in. Now, show us what your, because sometimes their expenses are not for saving. I mean, you know, we want to build a new
business.
I just
said there are good arguments for both sides. I don't think that there is an easy answer. I'm just saying that really some of the concerns that I had in 2011 when we talked about that are still some of the ones that I have now.
The exercise needs to be undertaken differently, because having a plan of operation show up and ramming it through and going, okay.
This is good conversation because it is part of how we budget. Our projected revenue and our income we get from our entities is part. I don't know that it's really, we're on target with this, but this is a discussion that needs to be had, because does this need to be in our budgetary law? Does the revenue portion need to be here? I tend to think that it does, Congressman Potts. And would you please take the chair a minute?
Yeah.
Continue. Let's take the, I'll be right back.
Okay. Anyway, I would agree that it needs to be somewhere. I don't know that this is the place for it.
Okay, I might go there, but the idea that we have this unwritten policy that this is how we do it, I don't know. Is a policy really a policy if it's just the fact that you haven't done it right? I mean,
I would say that.
And it's not in writing anywhere.
Your practices from the past count as your policy, if that's a established practice.
Well, I would argue that we don't really have an established practice because.
Well, we do. The established practices in law, these entities are charged with telling us what they're going to give us for the year. And that's true in 115
1B103. I don't think they're telling us what they're giving us. They're telling us what they project the revenue will be.
All this section of law does is meet the constitutional requirement that we're required to do, and that's set forth a process in law. How we arrive at what the gaming board, because that seems to be the biggest point of contention, how we arrive at what they project to give the government for the year is another section of law. That's not this.
Okay.
All this is establishing is the process in law that once that amount is determined, once that amount is communicated to the Board of Equalization, once that amount is communicated to the Congress sets projected revenue. So how that number is determined, I think, is an important discussion, more than willing to have it. I don't know that it belongs in this process.
I think Maria's point is, if you just hand us a number, which is what we're doing now, we're doing a little bit more than that, because the committee is discussing with the treasurer and the different entities that are giving us numbers where they're getting the numbers. But if you're just replacing it with a Board of Equalization that now is just giving us a number, that's not going to help us any more than what we're doing now.
I think it will, in that on the Board of Equalization you have representatives from two branches of government instead of members of one committee.
Well,
the Congress shall make the determination with the assistance of congressional appropriations.
Well,
so instead of just this committee projecting revenue.
But it was the treasurer, no. It was not just this committee.
The treasurer submits it to congressional or to appropriations.
And
so
the
instead of
secretary
one,
of the nation or the tax commissioner, and who else was involved in that?
Tammy.
And the LLCs, which
that communicated that into those numbers to the congressional appropriations committee, who then set projected revenue. The point of establishing a Board of Equalization is it allows the executive branch to also have a hand in setting the certification of projected revenue before it comes to Congress. And the reasoning for that is every year Congress certifies or sets annual projected revenue and the executive branch disagrees with that amount. So this law is trying to preempt that argument every year by meeting with the Board of Equalization. Everybody agrees that these are the amounts that are to be certified, and then Congress adopts those numbers.
What happens if they don't agree to it?
I have said that since we started talking about this.
This just reminds me of Trumpville. We get this number, so they disagree with it. It's the number we have. Nobody else has another number.
Congresswoman Goodfox.
I think that Congresswoman Edwards has... And almost in the same, I have the same concerns that you do. And I mentioned it a couple of meetings before this, in a different way, that I felt like some of this is stuff that this committee could be working with executive branch on in just meetings like this, that we didn't need a board to do. I thought that it was just an extra added layer. That's my concern. By law, we're going to dictate that so-and-so from the executive branch will be on this board. I think that that's a crummy way to start out a collaborative effort. And what if the Equalization Board gets together and then they can't be on the same page either? There is no guarantee that they're all going to agree on numbers. And my experience is that they probably won't. So I almost thought I would be really quiet during this meeting because we've talked about this and talked about it, and I'm not gonna change my mind on this. I'm just not. So, but there, I had to speak my piece. I just think the Board of Equalization is not going to work. I don't think it's going to work. I'm not optimistic though.
Well, Congresswoman, I see your concerns, and I heard what Congresswoman Edwards said too, and my take on that is we do get those numbers. They are sent by the treasurer, who is the chief's treasurer, the treasurer of the nation, but they fall under the executive branch. So those numbers come from the chief. The numbers come from the tax commission, which is an executive entity, and the numbers come from the controller, which is an executive entity, and then it comes from the gaming enterprise board, because the other enterprise boards never send us a number because they don't have revenue. And all of those entities that put numbers forward are executive entities. And whether or not the chief devised that number, formulated that number, they are numbers representative of his branch of government. And so all the numbers come from them. I do believe that right now what the law says, that we have, I know we have problems about that number every year. Will this Board of Equalization change that? Maybe. There needs to be a function set out in law. Either it's the treasurer's responsibility to send it to us and he certifies those numbers, or a Board of Equalization. I see the ability for us to work together on that through a Board of Equalization that does have executive representation, although all of those numbers are executive numbers that come our way anyway. So I think where I'm having a difficulty is I think those numbers, the way we get those numbers needs to be set out in law, such as, do we let the gaming enterprise boards just look at us and say, your distribution's going to be $4 million, and that's what they say, and that's what we get? Do we let the controller just say, well, I think that this program's going to make this much more this year, and give us a speculation instead of an actual? That's what I'd like to work on, and I hear Congressman Potts say that's probably not a part of this legislation. So, you know, I think we're going to need to continue to work on it, but to me it needs to be set out in law somewhere.
Well, maybe you need some law that establishes are you establishing the Board of Equalization through this law? Mm-hmm. Maybe you need to take that out and just put the Board of Equalization, how it's established and what its responsibilities are, in another piece of legislation, and then you can keep it, you know, a little more concise here. I don't know, but I, you know, we're saying that until we get a process and somebody agrees that that's going to be the process and they follow the process, then we're back to every year we've said this is the projected revenue for the year and this is how we actually wanted to spend it, and you get budgets from the executive branch of government that says, well, we didn't really believe that, so we made our own budgets that equal this amount, and we'll fix it by writing the Gaming Enterprise Board and telling them to send us more money. And then from your comment, we have in the law, or we did have in the law, in the board's law, maybe we need to work on this again, I think we do, that after a period of time when an entity, when an enterprise is not making any money and is not able to provide a dividend, then that entity needs to go away. Because
that is in law.
I think it is. I believe that it's in law.
You sponsored that.
Well, but we always give them a hall pass. And here we go.
I know. That's one of the reasons that I'm just like, with some of the things that we're talking about right now. I'm like, we're not following half the stuff that we've already got in place right now.
Well, that's the peril of not looking people in the eye and not being able to say no.
Congressman Potts.
So, to go back, in 2017, after all these laws that we currently are pointing to as saying this is what we need, the people passed a constitutional amendment that says the budgetary process shall be governed by the principles of transparency and accountability and shall be set forth in Osage law. This is an attempt to fulfill that mandate. And to piggyback off of what another member of Congress said, I don't know that a collaborative effort to arrive at the best number between branches behind closed doors is the best hope for achieving a process that is open and transparent and accountable.
What closed doors are you talking about?
That's exactly what was referred to by the assistant chief last time. We can just meet in the basement and hash this number out, and that's what the number will be. And I don't think that that's the process that needs to be put in Osage law. The process that we've been required by the people to put into law, I believe is set forth here with the Board of Equalization, that is subject to the Osage Nation Open Meetings Act. It's creating a public body that is to certify these estimates and then deliver them to the Congress that is constitutionally charged with setting projected revenue.
We could do that right now, though, in an open meeting.
But
yes
it
or no.
But it wouldn't be
yes
set out in law.
No.
It's not set
it's
out.
It's not
law.
Set out in law. We
but
could
we
do
could
it.
Do that now in an open meeting.
We can't
We've
compel.
Been charged by the Constitution
and
by the people to establish it
in
law.
Meeting.
We could, but the next Congress could decide not to.
Right.
And
that
we've been
correct.
Charged with setting it in law by the Osage people in a constitutional amendment, which is why I'm putting this forward. I agree we could do it tomorrow, but the next Congress could decide to not.
Put in law that the appropriations is going to do it in an open meeting. And it could be a simpler form of all of this, if you wanted it to be. I mean, if the law part was the most important thing to you.
I think the collaboration and getting it right is also important, which is why this charges the executive branch officials with also being part of the collaboration process. So that once Congress does it, we then don't have the argument like we have every year prior, every year since. This tries to head the problem off and say, everyone's going to have a seat at the table. We're going to certify these revenue estimates, and then Congress can act on them.
And I do have to say, going through the process, being the appropriations chair the last 2 years and the speaker previous to that, when projected revenue is set, I have heard things from the executive, well, you set that number. I have responded as, yes, Congress set that number off the numbers that you sent to us. So I do believe that the process needs to be set out in law where the law is collaborative. The law does say within the same breath, these people from the executive branch sit here, and these people from the, and we can't do that through any other members of the executive branch than the assistant chief and the treasurer. Constitutionally, we have the ability to place in law their functions. So I'm gonna agree with the concept of it because it follows constitutional law, the constitutional mandate, and also it, from my experience, I know that when we have set projected revenue, I have heard from the executive branch, well, that was your number you set, and even though it's numbers they give us. So I think this has the ability and the potential to be something that's set in law that might work. There might be still be some misgivings with it. There might still be those same things said, but at least we've tried to set it out in law that's constitutional. And I'm gonna just agree to trying it. I'm gonna agree to try this because it's ragged every year. We need to get more streamlined where it's not. So. Anyway, okay, can we move on from this, or do we have more discussion here? Okay.
Ready to go forward.
Okay.
Projected revenue and budgetary outlay requirements. The Congress shall determine the amounts and enact the annual projected revenue resolution. Then the Osage Nation Congress shall set as a separate item the annual tribal projected revenue. This is what we already do. The annual tribal projected revenue is the amount that the budget analyst tracks every legislative session. So this is just establishing that those two are separate and that the Congress establishes them both. And this law allows for the Congress to supersede and amend projected revenues by subsequent resolution, which is already in current law. The Osage Nation Congress shall fulfill its constitutional duties to enact an annual budget, which does not exceed projected revenue, by adopting the annual resolution or report allowed by Article 6, Section 23 of the Osage Constitution on or before the last day of the Hunka session.
Does the Constitution actually say resolution or report?
I believe we've established that in law, that it can be a resolution or report.
Well,
I would
love to change that.
For there to be more clarity.
Because I don't like the idea of a congressional report. What does that mean? I mean, I'm sure we wrote it, and I may have written it. But
you defined it in 1697.
Well, then there must have been, I mean, we must not have, I think it was because we were voting down the resolution, and it was pretty damn crazy. But, you know, we've all determined this is the amount we're going to spend, and then you've got six or seven Congress members voting no. And it's like, okay, now what are you going to do? We're going to do a free-for-all once again? So I guess they felt better voting on a report. I don't know, but
I believe the difference was that the report could be produced by the Appropriations Committee.
Well, then we ought to make it so that the Congress has to, must adopt something.
Perfectly happy with that the Congress must adopt an annual resolution.
That'd be fine.
And strike report?
Yes.
Okay.
Is that the Constitution?
That's what I was asking.
The Constitution says that we shall not exceed projected revenue, which would imply that we have to establish projected revenue.
And but when they say enacted in the budget, I always read that to mean appropriate money for the branches of government.
Yeah.
We shall not exceed projected revenue. So where does the annual resolution or report come in if we're enacted by appropriation bills? I guess I'm not clear on
what that is. Yeah, that is a little... You're fulfilling your constitutional duties to enact an annual budget by adopting a resolution report. Your constitutional duties are to appropriate funds that don't exceed...
I mean, we have that annual... Projected revenue, annual projected revenue resolution, is that kind of what you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay.
I'd reword
that. I see that as a precursor to the language that's there, which is enacting that annual budget. It doesn't say appropriate money for, but I mean, I think that's what it means.
Work on D.
Okay. Section E, the Association of Congress shall provide direction to the nation's branches of government by establishing budget outlays for each branch for expenditure in their respective fiscal year. We've tried to do this before. This is where the Congress says, executive branch, you have $47.8 million to spend. Legislative branch, you have $2.3 million to spend. Judicial branch, you have $500,000 to spend. Whatever those amounts are. By doing this in the resolution, again, from experience and the problems that we've had, we're limiting the opportunity for the, well, you didn't tell us how much we had to spend, so we just created a budget. Because what we've consistently
had, we did hear that this year,
is Congress sets projected revenue, a budget's exceeding that because they claim we didn't know how much we knew, had to spend.
Question, Congressman. So, what's the function of that? Association of Congress shall provide direction. What kind of direction? Where, how, when? Is it going to be established in law? Is it going to be a resolution? It's pretty vague there.
In a section of the resolution was the intention.
Does it say that? And should it just be an act? Should we enact that?
It doesn't say that.
And I think it should be enacted, not resolved. Because I think the Constitution gives us the ability to do that.
I don't know that I would agree that the Constitution gives us the ability to do that. We can't. Can't legally require them to submit a budget in accordance with our projections. We can refuse to appropriate it if it exceeds our projections. So I don't know that the Constitution gives us the ability to require that they submit it under budget.
Okay.
I would agree with
your
comments. Okay. I think it just sets up the argument. You know, they say this is the amount of money it takes to manage our branch of government. They say we gave you this amount of money.
I still think the function needs
by
to be a little bit
correct.
Clarified there. Does that belong in the annual projected revenue, is that a resolution of its own, that that's a companion resolution? Where does that come? I was all under that heading, okay.
Yeah. I mean, I can make that more clear, but okay. I thought by putting it under that heading, it would suggest that the annual projected revenue resolution would contain these
you
items.
You have 4 minutes to wind up however far you want to go and wind it up.
Let's try to get to D.
Okay.
Budgetary outlay shall state an amount funding each branch of government should budget for the respective fiscal year. Again, that's just saying you have X number of dollars to spend. The Association of Congress should provide further direction for planning purposes in the nation's branches of government by establishing anticipated budgetary outlays for the preceding five fiscal years. This is a practice of the federal government. This isn't in law, and that's kind of my hesitation of also putting this in law. It's a budgetary outlay, it's a projection to say, you know, look, for the next 5 years, we're paying off a ranch, we're building new casinos. Pay attention, don't grow too fast. That's all this is, and that's why I think it belongs in the resolution. That's,
okay.
Alas, not binding, but it at least provides a history of, we told you this was going to be spent. We all agreed that this was going to be spent when you signed it. This is the number. Then we get to the Association of Congress shall not appropriate an annual budget funding at any time that exceeds 95% of projected revenue stated in the most recently enacted projected revenue resolution for the applicable fiscal year. This goes back to, you know, we need to have money left over at the end of the fiscal year. This creates a cushion of 5% of projected revenues. This is similar to what the state of Oklahoma does, what many other states do. It, by law, establishes that you have a 5% cushion for the fiscal year. Then, the last clause of Section G that a lot of people are excited about, revolving fund balances once projected as revenue may be appropriated in accordance with Osage law. Established revolving fund balances shall not be included in annual projected revenue.
Yay.
This seeks to alleviate an annual problem that we have of including revenue multiple times in projected revenue. I think that this allows for those funds to be spent in accordance with their enacting clauses that create the revolving funds and removes the requirement or the believed requirement that they need to be in annual projected revenue.
Right, because sometimes we find that this fund is in projected revenue and this fund is not in projected revenue, and it doesn't make any sense whatsoever, so I think they need to be totally left out of projected revenue. Okay. Thank you, Congressman. Let's make a note of where we are. How much more of this bill is there left?
Quite a bit.
Okay. Well, I'm going to have a meeting in January, and let's talk about it before we adjourn. It is 12 right now, but maybe we can adjourn the meeting, and you'll sit here, and we can work out when our next appropriations meeting will be. Our calendars are here at the table. So that objection, we're adjourned, and let's take a look at our calendars and see when we can form our next meeting, and then I'll see if we can get the treasurer and the controller here with us. So, Congresswoman Edwards, are you within earshot?
Yeah, but I've got to go.
Are you going to be available in January here?
Fine.